Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Family Talk. I'm Dr. James Dobson, your host, and I'm glad that you've joined us for a second program in our two-part series on building a family legacy. It's the most important topic in my life. I've talked about many things in 40 years, but this is the one that matters most. It's the topic that's been the driving passion of mine in my 57 years of marriage to my wife, Shirley, and again in my 40 years of ministry to couples, parents, and families. Recently, we compiled some of the most significant teachings about parenting, marriage, love, and legacy, and we put them together in a new series called Building a Family Legacy. That 8-video project was completed, and my son Ryan and I sat down with a good friend of this ministry to discuss it. And his name is Warren Cold Smith. He's a veteran journalist and author who currently serves as the Vice President of Mission Advancement of the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview. He also serves as Vice President of World News Group and Associate Publisher of World Magazine. Now, Ryan and I are the subjects of the Building a Family Legacy series. We thought it would be appropriate to have someone else asking the questions today. And so let's pick up with our conversation with a good friend, Warren Cold Smith, in the interview chair on Family Talk.
First of all, Dr. Dobson, Ryan Dobson, welcome to the program. Tell me about your new legacy project. Which one of you wants to start on that? Dr. Dobson?
Ryan likes to talk. I'm going to let him take the first shot.
I love this project. They're both part of the new film series that's coming out, Building a Family Legacy. And in truth, they both deal with that subject just in a different way. My book is called Wanting to Believe. It really deals with two aspects. One, marriage and parenting, and the other is faith. Wanting to believe that the things my dad has taught for all these decades is true. It will work. Can I have a better marriage? Can I have a good relationship with my kids? Can they be obedient? Can I raise them in this culture that wants to pull them away from me in every way, shape, and form? Can I still do that? And is faith real? Is Christ out there? And I go through that whole journey because I woke up thinking, I have the responsibility of passing my faith on to my kids. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? It's so overwhelming. And at times you become paralyzed with that. And almost the second thought was, hey, wait a minute. I love the Lord. I love my parents and my kids and my wife, and I'm in ministry. My parents did a great job. How did they do it? And so a lot of this is my look back on the lessons I've learned and how I'm trying to apply them to my life.
And Dr. Dobson, that must really give you a lot of joy to see your son deeply concerned about the same questions that 40 years ago energized you at the start of your ministry and career.
Warren, I can't tell you how important that is to me and how I feel about it today, because when my daughter was 3 and Ryan had not been born, my father saw that I was just absorbed with all the trappings of success, because when I finished the PhD, the world opened up to me and I was a professor of pediatrics in a medical school and on national television, all kinds of things. And my dad saw that I was not giving priority to my family. I never abandoned them. I never, you know, I think I was a good father and a good husband. But he saw that that I was being pulled into other pursuits. He wrote me a letter that was to change my life. And he said, I'm proud of you. I just can hardly believe all the great things that are happening. But when you sit where I sit and you look back, if you've lost your kids, and at that time there's only one, but later he said the same thing, if you lose them, then everything else will be pale and washed out. And so now I sit at this stage where my dad was a long time ago. And I am grateful for the loving relationship I have not only with Ryan, But our daughter, Danae, they love the Lord. They understand the things that matter most. And that's one of God's greatest blessings to me. And I give my dad a lot of credit for that.
Well, all that said, maybe I know a little bit more, Ryan, about you than I should. But despite all that great parenting and all that fantastic energy that your parents put into you, you went through a season when you were perhaps not following the Lord as closely as you should. What were the things that you remembered that your parents said to you that maybe were the pebbles in your shoes as you were walking a different path?
You know, when I didn't really do a traditional rebellion like I think a lot of people think, you know, and it certainly wasn't high school where most kids go through that. I kind of went with the flow in high school. And I just, you know, got along to get along. In college, I started to struggle with who I was. My identity was my big struggle, you know. My last name is Dobson, and my dad is the world's foremost expert on child rearing and marriage and parenting, and I kind of became the poster child of, is he going to measure up? And the answer is no. In a million years, I'm not perfect. My parents never expected me to be perfect, but there's a lot of people out there that, you know, that pressure got to me, and I struggled, and I started screwing around in college, and I just wasted my time there. And I mean, embarrassingly wasted my time. And my dad we'd talk on the phone and he'd ask how my grades were and they were bad. And he'd say, Rye, this isn't my money. This is God's money. We can't waste God's money. If you keep doing this, we're going to have to pull you out of school. And honestly, in my arrogance, I thought, no way. I know how bad you wanted me to go to college. I didn't want to go to college. They convinced me to go. And I knew that. I didn't think they'd pull me out. And I'm telling you, middle of my junior year, grades came out. They were bad. I called my dad. He asked what they were. I told him they were bad. Didn't get mad. Didn't yell. Didn't call me names. Didn't say I was lazy or wasted anything. He just said, well, Rye, you know, we've talked about this. You got to find a place to live and find a way to support yourself, but you can't come home. That would be too easy.
I think was the suggestion.
And I worked in a restaurant and it was terrible. I mean, my boss swore at us and cursed at us and screamed at us every day, but it was that or don't eat. I was at my parents' house one day. I said, Dad, these people are going nowhere. There was a 17-year-old girl and a 45-year-old woman that worked in that place with me. They both made the same money. And I thought, you got to be kidding me.
How hard was that for you to hold the line in that moment?
Toughest thing I've ever done, Warren, because I was fearful that Ryan would never get back. He would never get back on track again. He might get out there and find some rum-dum job and be satisfied with that. And I knew it was a risk. And yet there was a moral principle here that was at stake. And Shirley and I prayed about it a lot. And then made the most important, most difficult decision we've ever made. The best advice I have ever heard on that came from Josh McDowell. Simple little phrase. He said, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And we did a good job of that. There are a lot of things I wish I could do over, but we poured ourselves into a relationship with our kids, and skiing was the key to that for us. The things of that nature, taking trips together, allowed us to build a relationship where I think Danae and Ryan wanted to believe. In fact, the title of his book is Wanting to Believe. Mm-hmm. That's very key. It's a very important title. Because he was saying, I'm not drawn to the faith because of fear of God at that stage. He was drawn because of our relationship, and he knew what I believed and how I lived. And this book actually goes back four generations of time, because my great-grandfather was a farmer, and he had a marvelous relationship with Christ. And he began praying for his two daughters. Now, he was actually born in 1862. So, I mean, we're talking a long time ago. Praying for those two daughters and future generations. He didn't know me. He was out there praying for me. And it's come down. I'm in the fourth generation down. And Ryan is the fifth. He's an ordained minister. And Danae is out there trying to win people to Christ.
That's right.
And then Ryan's working on his kids. So it's really
six generations
that come from the dedicated prayer of my great-grandfather.
And my parents did that for us, Warren. You know, I'd come home late in high school or in college and sneak past their bedroom to see if they were awake. And time and time and time again, they'd be on their knees praying for my sister and I. I've heard hundreds of those prayers. I'd stand by the door and listen. And that let me know, no matter where I was, no matter what I was doing, no matter what my situation in life was at that time, somebody is going to call out on my behalf to the Lord. That makes a huge difference. They care about me that much. Every day. They do it today. They pray for my sister and I. They pray for my wife, Laura, and my kids, Lincoln and Lucy. And I'm doing the same thing.
Can I shift gears on you guys just
sure,
a little bit?
Yeah.
Because we're sitting here in your studio in Colorado Springs, posters on the wall, James Dobson's Family Talk, and, you know, on air, online, on the go, on demand is what the sign says here. You, Dr. Dobson, have built this, before coming here, this remarkable, amazing ministry called Focus on the Family. It wasn't just you, but you were obviously the founder and the leader for many, many years. You left at a certain time to start this ministry at a time when a lot of folks would be winding down their ministry lives. You were starting something brand new. But can y'all say, and maybe Dr. Dobson, starting with you, what it is that you want Family Talk to be? What do you want it to accomplish? How would you differentiate it from what you've done in the past?
Well, that is a very important question and one that would take a long time to explain. I had started Focus on the Family February 26, 1977. I'd been there 33 years, and I was feeling that there is a time for every leader to let go and to let a younger generation come in. If you don't, you either die or retire or get bored or leave or make a mistake, and then there's not the infrastructure to take it on. So I was thinking about leaving. I was not ready to do that in 2010, but I was thinking about it. And my board of directors asked me to leave. It wasn't because of any scandal or big conflict or anything.
Yeah.
I don't really understand it today. But I did understand this. The Lord had his hand in my back, and he said, I've got work for you to do, and it's not finished.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even think of retiring. And so the next day, very next day, I started Family Talk. And I'm trying to do the same thing I was at Focus on the Family. I want to save as many families as I can. I want to help people make marriage all that it should be. I want to help parents convey their faith to their children. I want to fight for righteousness in the culture. Those are not new goals to me. They go back even when I was at the medical school before I started Focus on the Family. So I'm still at it, and the Lord is still blessing it. The ministry's growing. We're not as big as Focus. I don't want to be. I don't ever want to try to repeat what I did there. But I just want the Lord to use me as long as I'm able. And he has given me the strength and energy and health to do this.
And I remember getting the call from my dad. I think it was right after Thanksgiving. And he said, Rye, I think I'm going to start another ministry. And I remember my response. I said, why? I mean, come on. Have you not done enough? Honestly, where would we be without my dad's ministry? And in his early 70s, you've done enough. You don't need to do this. And he said, the Lord said he's not done. You know, that's his answer. Because it wasn't, well, I want to build what I had before. I don't want to go out like this. I want to go out on top. I need to make some more money. None of that was of any concern. It was, this is what the Lord asked me to do. That is why he's so easy to follow, because it's not about James Dobson. It's about the will of the Lord. And what I want to do is help people. I want to help them exactly where they're at. We were in New York doing press for the book and the film series. I was walking along and I saw a temper tantrum unlike I've ever seen in my life. There was a mom with about a 16-year-old and about a 6-year-old, and this 6-year-old lost her mind. I have never witnessed anything like that. She screamed and shrieked for a block and a half. I changed directions and went somewhere else. It was so crazy. She was running back at her mom and hitting her in the arm and screaming and shaking her hand at her. And as I turned the corner, I didn't want to stare. I've had kids cry on airplanes. I've been stared at. I don't want to heap that kind of pressure on people. But as I got around the corner, I looked back when she couldn't see me, and I saw the look in her eyes. Helplessness. Didn't know what to do. That mom loves that little girl. She wants a good relationship. She didn't want to be in the middle of the street in New York City with 1,000 people watching your kid throw a tantrum. I can help her. I've got things that have worked for the last 40 years. We've gotten hundreds of thousands of letters and phone calls and emails and Facebook posts of people that said, this changed my life, it changed my family, and it did for me. I'm not selling something that's just worked for other people. This worked in my life with my family, my wife, my kids.
Well, Dr. Dobson, we hope you're a part of that future, whatever it looks like. Hope you're ministering for another 40 or 50 years. But just in case you're not, and somebody within the next 40 or 50 years has to prepare a tombstone that says James Dobson at the top of it, what else do you want to be on that tombstone?
It would go back to a book I wrote in 1974 called What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women. And toward the end of that book, I wrote a paragraph that I can't quote today, but it's going to take a big tombstone, but I would like that statement to be there. The essence of it is that when I reach the end of my days, a moment or two from now, I must look back on something more meaningful than stocks and bonds and accomplishments and buildings and things of that nature. I must look back above all else on a lifetime of trying to serve the Lord willingly but not perfectly, and also look back on a relationship with a family that I tried to give my very best to, and introducing them to Christ so we can be together throughout eternity. And that is my goal for living. People ask me, how do you want to be remembered? I don't think it matters. That's not the goal. I don't need that. I want to be remembered as a man who loved his family and loved the Lord and loved the family of man and tried to do what he could.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to shift gears on you guys. Dr. Dobson, what do y'all like to do for fun? And I'm guessing that maybe there might be some overlap there, but there's probably a little bit of difference as well. Dr. Dobson, what about you first? When you're not leading this ministry on the radio, speaking and writing, what's fun for you?
College football, pro basketball.
Yeah, I do. I love watching professional sports and college sports. And I'm on the treadmill every single day and have been for 21 years. And that's what's kept me healthy along with the blessing of the Lord.
And you played a little basketball in your day too, didn't you?
Basketball and tennis. I played, and my dad introduced me to tennis. Talk about building a relationship. It started when I was 8 years old when he began teaching me how to play tennis. That made a contribution to my entire life. And some of those things are not possible now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how your knees are after a lifetime of tennis and basketball.
My knees are fine. I've had a heart attack, a stroke, and prostate cancer, and I have no residuals from any of those things. You talk about a gift from the Lord.
Yeah, well, that you can't blame that on basketball, right? You can't blame prostate cancer
on basketball, right? Well, I can. I was playing basketball when I had the heart attack.
Well, okay. Yeah, I guess there's that. Well, what about you, Ryan? What do you do?
With my dad, hunting fish. We've been hunting and fishing since I was little. It is one of the most special things I've ever gotten to do. I do it with my son now. I just love doing that. We're getting ready to go hunting in just a couple months. I'm already planning it. I'm already half packed for a trip that's not for 3 months away. With my family is a CrossFit family. We do that at least 3 days a week, and we're big adventure sports people. I don't watch traditional sports. I just couldn't care less. But if it's skateboarding or mountain bike, for my 44th birthday, I rode my mountain bike down Pikes Peak. down Bar Trail, and it was
no way, not down Bar Trail.
Really? Yeah, totally. Listen, we prayed all the way down.
I hiked up Bar Trail a couple of
it's crazy,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, and saw a couple of bikers coming down, and I'm like, those guys are nuts. I was beginning to feel a little like I was nuts for walking up it, but those guys are really nuts coming down.
It's
and now,
so
Ryan,
much fun.
I can count you among the nuts, right?
Yeah, Warren, those hunting trips with Ryan are priceless in my memory.
Yeah.
Because my dad really introduced me to hunting and fishing. And when I was out there with him, my mother didn't go, and she shouldn't have gone. This was a guy thing. This is where I learned what it means to be a man, because my dad was different out there. He was totally focused on me. And what we experienced in the woods out there or in fields, we didn't really experience anyplace else. My dad was an evangelist. He was gone a lot. But he made time for me, and I tried to pass that on to Ryan. And Ryan, you can speak for yourself, but I think that is a key to our relationship.
Oh, yeah.
You got to find out where your kid is and then link in at that point. I did something similar with Danae from very early on.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ryan and Dr. James Dobson, thank you so much for having me into your home, so to speak, your professional home, your studio, and for having this conversation. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Oh, Warren, we love World Magazine and all the things that you do. Thank you for having us on.
Ditto.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Well, there you have it. That was an interview recorded with Warren Smith. He did a great job. I enjoyed working with him. And my son Ryan, who was here at the same time, as you know. And it was a discussion of the then brand new video series called Building a Family Legacy. It is a boxed set. And it has some of the best messages. I say best. I'm kind of a little bit humble about that. But some of the messages the Lord has given me through the years. And the titles in this series include Your Legacy, The Greatest Gift, Bringing Up Boys, Bringing Up Girls, The Strong-Willed Child, Dare to Discipline, Love for a Lifetime, and Straight Talk to Men. And it is available for a contribution of $50, 8 DVD series. If you can't handle that, if that's too much, then send us what you can, and we will try to make up the difference because we want to get this message out. This is the centerpiece of my life because it deals with children and with getting them into the hands of Jesus Christ. So although they're not here today, I thank Warren Smith for being with us. And, of course, Ryan being here, he played a key role in the development of this series. And I'd like to hear from all of you. If you have an opportunity, drop us a line. There's a phone number that you can call to contact us. It is 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825, or you can contact us at drjamesdobson.org and learn everything you ever wanted to know about this series and much more. Thank you for joining us today. The Lord gave us this message and this series, provided the money for it, and we're anxious to get it in your hands. If you have an opportunity to show it in your neighborhood or to your Sunday school class or maybe on a Sunday night in your church or wherever it is, we just want to get that vital message out. So with that, God bless you all as you pass along your legacy to your own precious children.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and executive director of the Center for Counselor Education and Family Studies at Liberty University. Man, I'm so excited to tell you about a brand new program, an exciting opportunity for you to better yourself. It's a tremendous educational resource. It's the all-new James C. Dobson Center for Child Development, Marriage, and Family Studies at Liberty University. Liberty has partnered with renowned psychologist, author, radio show host, family expert, Dr. James C. Dobson, to create the Dobson Center, where you now can study in three different majors, marriage and family, child development, family advocacy, and more, and become even a certified marriage and family relationship coach. That's right. You can go to college at Liberty and learn from Dr. James C. Dobson. He actually teaches video lectures, salted with numerous experts from the field and more. I hope you'll take a moment just to check out these brand new programs of study at Liberty University.